Expressions from St. Paul is a paid program. Our sponsors are listeners like you. We thank you for your faithful prayers and gifts.
Faithful don't have to fight like the world fights. At least we ought to not fight like the world fight, because we ought to depend on the Word of God.
As promised in today's lesson, Dr. Williams presents part two of Fighting the Good Fight of Faith. Welcome to Expressions from the St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church. We are blessed to have serving as our pastor, serving us faithfully for the past 47 years, Dr. Ephraim Williams. Our edifice is located at 3996 14th Avenue in Sacramento. We'd like to take this opportunity to invite you out to worship with us in person on Sunday morning. New membership orientation begins at 8:45 a.m. Sunday school classes for all ages are offered at 9 a.m. and at 10 a.m. our morning worship service begins. It would truly be a blessing to look around and to see your face in the place. If you have your Bible or your mobile device, let's go to the book of Genesis, chapter 13, verses 16 down through 18. We'd like to thank you for joining us today. We are now going to transition into the sanctuary, and let's join morning worship service already in progress.
Then repeat after me, fighting the good fight of faith. Thank you very much. I really was blessed by our children and young people today. It's encouraging to see how they were perform if they're given an opportunity. Amen. When I was young, I didn't have a choice about going to church. My parents drug me in for Sunday school. They drug me in for 11 o'clock. They drug me back at 3 o'clock. They drug me in at 6 o'clock. And then they just made me stay for 7 o'clock. I grew up like that in church. I liked church very much. When I got to be a teenager, some of my teenage friends didn't want to go to church in the evening. And I said to them, I said, you're all going, I'm going back to church. Those who wrestled against that, Those who are not dead, the others can't go because their health issues won't allow them to. I learned for myself. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about myself. I learned in church like I learned at home. It was seven of us. And that lived, two died, seven of us lived, and I had two aunties that grew up with us. That was nine. Then I had the bosses, two, which was 10, 11, which was mom and daddy. So we was taught not yelling, beating, and all that stuff. We was taught how to handle issues in character. A few years ago, a person remembered, a few years ago, I don't want to go back, because I don't want to make you remember who it was, but a few years ago, I invited somebody to come here to preach. And he got up. Percy, he holds a master's degree, and he holds a BA in, in seminary. He holds a seminary degree, and he has his PhD. But he has no mannerism. Are you listening to me? Anytime you invite somebody to your house and feed them, and they don't thank you, no problem, they just didn't fully develop. He didn't even call my name. He just gets up and gets started. If he had been trained mannerism, speaks for who you're going to be and who you are right now. Amen. I never said anything to him. And someone in the church knew him, so they pulled his coat later, and I got on them. Don't do that. You boasting about all of your degrees, you telling on yourself. Amen. When you tell me, and I say this all the time, you tell me, I'm talking about me, you say to me, well, I hold the master. I expect something from you. You said, well, I have a PhD. I expect more from you. You tell me I didn't go to school nowhere. I expect plenty from you because God could have, may have, given you mother with. Right, 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 right. I know a whole lot of people never been to college, and they are much further advanced than many people that I know, including me. They are far advanced because they know mannerism. Amen. And they will not clown in church. They will not bicker and argue and get upset because they can't have their way. So I'm giving you an introduction. This is what happened here, what you read. Abram was God's what? He was what to God? He was God's favorite. And God asked him to leave where? Leave his homeland and go somewhere else. Where was it? You do read the Bible, right? Well, where did he ask him to go? And the mistake he made, Abram made, was he asked his nephew Lot to go with him. God didn't ask Lot to go with him. He told him to go. And they both had been blessed with a lot of cattle. And these cattle were growing. And his nephew got jealous of him. And don't you laugh at Lot. Because a number of you sitting in this church today, if it hadn't been for jealousy, you'd have been further than you are now. Amen. Amen. You don't have to say amen. I know I'm right. So what he decided to do, Lot, was to, they got to bickering. And this is what I always say. You can tell people who have fully developed. They're easy to tell. Let me put it in a way that you can understand. Some of you know about it. Some of you remember this church, you know about it. Some years ago, my name came up to be at another organization to be the president of that organization. And they had four precious friends and brothers. They rose against it. One of the brothers, Percy, said, seminary trained, college trained, he says, Pastor William would not fit well here. So they said, why? He said, he believes in everything that's right. That's what they said. So they got to arguing about it. So they voted it down so my name wouldn't go on the floor. Now God gave Abraham, listen, it's in your Bible, gave Abraham, he gave him all that was around him. And so Lot, Mr. Smarty, he didn't lack it. So listen to a fully developed man. Lot said, I'll tell you what you do. Say, you look east, west, north, and south. You look. And whatever area you want to go in, you go there and you take it. Abraham was given, Abraham did that for Lot. Gave him first choice what had been given to him. And the reason he could do that, Francis, Abraham, God said to him, come with me, let me show you something. He said, you see the sand on the banks? If you can number how many seeds or ounces of sand here, then you don't have to worry about it. You can become me. I'm saying that. So what he did, he said, just like you and nobody else can number the sands on the banks, so I'm going to give you the world and nobody would be able to take it. Now, many of you know that's what you accuse me of. You say, well, the pastor talk about the Lord did it. He's not going to change. I'm not. And I don't have to change. I don't have to change. If I know that, I have to know this. If I know that God said for me to do something, I don't care what anybody said, the devil in hell can't stop it. And we're going to have to learn that if we're going to grow. There's a group of people who were singing. They were doing real well. I went to the leader of them and said, you know them. You know of them. I said, if you would change your attitude, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll get you on stage in Pennsylvania of the National Baptist Convention. I'll bring you on in the evening where there's 35 to 40,000 people. He said, okay, let me look at it. And somebody else was working with him, and they blocked him. Are you listening? It's not always whom you know. In some cases, it's really who you know. I asked the president about somebody. I said, I'd like to bring him on stage and introduce him. He said, well, whatever you said. I said, I'll make sure I maintain my level on the time you give me. He said, I'm not worried about that. They refused, person, and never got nowhere. When you are not fully developed, you mumble and grumble in your house and about other people, and you cut your blessing off from God, who owns, super owns. He's all by himself. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. He made the world. He didn't come from nowhere. He was already there. So how are you going to beat him, supersede him?
That's right.
Person remembers, I don't see nobody else in here that was downtown. Now, we were downtown, and we were getting ready to erect this building, and what that people, those people that okays you to get a permit, whoever they were, I can't think of the name of them. We had some people from the neighborhood, three of them, try to block it. Then we had a person on the committee said, no, we don't need them to build nothing. You should see how they keep their garage and their back parking. Out of nowhere, this man on the committee, he jumps up. He said, oh, no, that's wrong. We just rented the place. And we didn't have to move nothing. All the parking was available for us. But that's not true about them. And he said, I offer a motion that they'll get the permit today. So, okay, he has to testify. They shouldn't have never did that. He has to testify. So they brought me to the stage. And I testified. I did not say, I hope you give us the permit. I didn't say that. I said, we are ready to sign and pay for the permit, because we are going to build an edifice. Dealing just because this is almost your Black History Month. And I can tell you one thing, if I can't tell you anything else. The half of the people disagree. But let me put it the best I know how. Perkin, would you stand up? Is this Parker in here? Do y'all know him? Is this him? Or magic? If he's standing here, this building is here. Thank you, Parker. You have to get in your line to follow God, get to know God. I don't care who criticizes you. If you get to know God, God will shut them up or take them out. This I know. I have never been hurt so bad. I mean bad. Two people went against me and behind my back and tried to hurt me when we was getting ready to erect this building. I'm going to leave it so it can be told when I'm gone home. And you know what happened? I was laying in my bed, asleep. And I had a vision. It read, watch so-and-so, watch so-and-so. The next night, a gentleman called me and said, so-and-so came to me and wanted me to go against you building that building. He said, but I can't. I said, well, why can't you? He said, there's something in my spirit saying, don't you do that. All this had to do with Lot. Lot. And Lot is not dead. They have a lot of Lots. And some of them is in this church today. Let's move on. I didn't write it, it's in the text. Listen, friends, he says, I will make your descendants, that's his offspring, as the dust of the earth, so that if anyone can number the dust of the earth, then your descendants can also be numbered. That's impossible. Listen how he added to it. So he says, arise, walk about the land throughout its length and breadth, for I would give it to you. Amen. I'm trying to show you something you can see like Abram did, something that's real. I don't care anything about what any public official, I don't care what he says or she, if God tells you, you follow God. Because God is going to win. I don't care how long Trump is in the White House. Amen. Let's move on. Listen carefully. And so because of Lot's attitude, there was conflicts. Listen, conflicts, fighting, disputes, and even differences happen even among the family of the faith. Yes. Truth is, conflicts, my friend, fighting, disputes, and even differences happen in our everyday life. There's not a family in this church, and if you are here, please let me know so I can interview you and send you to dinner. There's not a family in this church that haven't had some disputes in their family. Now you can come down and sign up. I'll take care of you. You can't. There's no way you can do that because they are born in you. Let me explain what I mean. You was born with the old nature and it's sinful. Don't let nobody tell you because you're saved, full of the Holy Ghost, and been living above sin all your life. Don't let nobody tell you that your old nature won't click you sometimes. There's this old lady that I know, there's a young man she had an interest in. She was an old sister. And so she couldn't get him, so she bought him a new car. She bought it, a brand new car, good car, nice one. And you gave it to him. See, brethren, You can't make nobody keep you because you buy them something. So she saw him riding another young woman in her car. And this older lady, haven't been to college, don't know nothing. That's what you young folks say. You young adults say that all the time. They didn't know nothing. She didn't know nothing. So what she did, she blocked him from backing out, and she went in her purse, like the purse that the ladies carry, you know, them luggages. And she took out of her purse, a pistol. And she said, get out. And he said, well, let me explain. She said, if you don't get out, you won't have a chance. She put him out of her car in the rain. And he was talking about, you know, how much he loved her. But you see, you don't get it. Money can't buy love. So when he told me about it, I said, that is exactly what you should have gotten. Why would you 37 and you're going to date a lady who is 77? I said, you could see she was going down, not coming up. So why in the devil you want to try to take the advantage of her? You can't take the advantage. When I said going down, I'm talking about she don't have to try to ride above to get you because she got money. He got married after then, and she quit it. I heard a few years ago he got married again, and she quit it. He didn't have what he thought he had. So be careful in this business of jealousy. Be careful. My mother's daddy died first, then my mother was growing older. And she said, is there any particular thing in the house you want? I said, yes. I'll take your clock so they can't sell it. It was an antique clock. And I took it. But I didn't take the clock then because she was still living. So when she died, they were running around telling me, we're going to get this and we want. I said, all I want is the clock. I'm going to save the clock for Mama. Because she wanted this clock not to be passed from the family. Amen. So what are you going to do with it? I said, I'm going to take it home. Did you ask Sister Sue, can you bring it? I said, Lord, help me. Help me, Jesus. You figure the rest out. Sue put it on the spot where it could be seen everywhere. Look at here. Look what happened. Even among the family of faith, I wish you'd think about it, friends. I know that's right. The question is, how do we deal with conflicts? How? Well, I praise God for Father Abraham, who teaches us in this text not to fight with our fists, but to fight with our faith. In 1 Timothy 6:12, Paul encouraged the young preacher to fight the good fight of faith. What did George go? Miss Larry, you know I told you before, you know why I got out of the choir in Chicago? I was on time. I could not sing in a rehearsal in a choir when the people was worse than it was on the ballroom floor clowning. Where I came from, when you go to rehearsal, you rehearse or stay at home. You can't have your way over God. Amen. So I got out. Pastor said, Pastor, you should get back in. You should get back in, D. You should get back. I said, no, Pastor, I can't. I said, because I want to worship on Sunday. I can't worship and this choir singing and they just raised hell on Friday night. I can't do that. I'm looking at them. And they singing and shouting and hollering and clowning and just got through raising hell. That's a waste of my time. I could have went to Club DeLisa and got that. Some of you know what Club DeLisa were. And so, friend, when you look at it well, praise God for Father Abraham who teaches us. And what are we learning from him? Church, the good fight of faith, however, is not the same as a greedy, selfish, cold-blooded, competitive fight of a dog-eat-dog world. While others may, my friend, others may bark, bite, scratch, or claw for the little piece of this passage. Friends, the faithful don't have to fight like the world fights. Church, at least we ought to not fight like the world fight, because we ought to depend on the word of God. Church, rather than living by the way of man, my friends, in our text we find an example of this truth from the life of Abraham. Abraham had some challenges. He had some challenges with his nephew, and he had some challenges with his wife. Because he had the faith and she didn't. And I understand that. I understand that she said, you know, that at my age, I'm not in a position, if I was in a position, I don't want no kids. What would I need with a baby? Listen, beloved, there are a number of lessons that we can take from this text, friend, but today I want to point you to three of them as we seek to learn how to fight the good fight of faith. Okay? Number one, listen carefully. Be gracious in your disputes. Just because you disagree, you don't have to clown. And there's nowhere in the Christian realm that if you have a dispute, you have to cuss. Cussing people, when they get angry, they cuss all the time. Amen. Listen carefully here. When Abram left his homeland, he brought with him not only his wife, Sarah, but also his nephew, Lot. All right? Some have argued that taking Lot alone was a measure of disobedience. Since God's original command to Abram in Genesis, friends, 12:1, was get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred. Now let me pause here. I don't care how you talk about it. There are some of your relatives you can't live around. Let me go over here. And there are some of your relatives, you can't loan them your money. Because they have something in them that you don't have. Amen. When I lived northwest in Chicago, I had four brothers who lived in Chicago, different places. I tried to get one of my brothers for us to buy a three-flat building together, and he said, well, let me think about it. Then after I thought about it more and prayed, I said, no, I don't want to do that. I changed my mind. Because he drank. Don't laugh at him. Some of y'all had one last night. So what happened was, you have to learn as God's Holy Spirit teach you. You know people are going to be bickering and arguing, so why you want to be living around them? And some people, they got three women in one house, and they always fight. And you fight with them. How are you going to love a woman and you fight her? Tell me that. Let me put it personally. How are you going to make love to a woman and you're fighting her? Every praise to our God. Every word of worship of one accord. I want you to think about it. That's what he's teaching. Listen to me, love. Listen to me, love. That was, when you look at it, some have argued that taking Lot alone, I told you, was disobedience. Whatever the case, it doesn't seem, as you study the life of Abraham, that Lot was always more of a burden than a blessing. Amen. Amen. I had a hard time adjusting to cheap people. I had a hard time adjusting to that. But now I'm adjusted. If you live a certain amount of years, you'll get adjusted. So if you don't agree with it, you just suggest. Amen. Cheap people have problems. And they won't tell you. Because they're still trying to protect their cheapness. But when you are open, then the Spirit is open for you. Amen. Did you know the Holy Spirit is the teacher? Did you know he's the guide? Did you know the Holy Spirit lives in you, is your protector? Did you know that when you have needs, the Holy Spirit supplies your needs? Did you know your friends can't hurt you when you are worshiping and thanking the Holy Spirit for blessing you? Did you know the Holy Spirit would block anybody from trying to block your blessings? Did you know the Holy Spirit is more protected than your burglar alarm? If you think about it, the days, go back and think about when you didn't have nothing. Go back and think about when nobody helped you. And all of a sudden, God raises up somebody who don't even know you. That's the Holy Spirit. Think about it. Amen. I tell this quite often. I was trying to go and see my mother who was ill in the hospital in Jackson, Mississippi. And I went to San Francisco. When I went to the airport, I had a reservation. When I went to the airport to pay for it, I didn't have my credit card. I had forgotten, left it at home. And so I said, oh my God, what's gonna happen now? So I know some people in San Francisco, so I was gonna call them. And all of a sudden through the doors, this man come through. Dr. William, where you going? I said, I'm on my way to Chicago. And then from there, I'm going to Jackson to see my mother. My brother just had a heart attack. And I said, but I left my credit card, so I can't pay for my ticket. So I said, I'm going to have to call somebody here and get some money. He said, oh, no, you don't. No, you don't. He said, I handle it. He stepped up to the money. He said, whatever, wherever he's going, you clear it, and I take care of it. Say what you want to say. And then when I came back and tried to pay him, I'm going to give him a tip. He said, no, you don't owe me nothing. That was a chance for me to get my blessing. He said, do you have any money to spend if you need it? And I said, no, when I get to Chicago, I don't have no problems. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Don't you tell me what God did for Abraham, he will do it for Ephraim. Because I'm a son of God. I don't deal with crooked people. I like them and I love them, but I move on quick. I don't want them to get between me and the Holy Spirit. Now you can say whatever you want to say. Yes, I'm a Baptist preacher. Full of the Holy Ghost and know it. Had nothing to do with my denomination. Has to do with me. Amen. It has to do with Ephraim. I woke up this morning at 3:30 and went back to bed and slept until 6. And didn't have to, oh Lord, I don't want to go today. No, I want to go because I owe him something. I owe him something. You might not owe God nothing, but let me just tell you this. Give you another Abraham testimony. I came to California looking for a place to live. Had a vacation check, whole month. No bills in Chicago, didn't owe nobody nothing. Had a little money in the bank when I left there so my family would be able to be comfortable. And I said to one of my brothers, if she runs short, don't call me, you just give her what she needs. I'm in California, floating. Are you listening? People that I met here have been here for months, Francis, looking for a job and couldn't find one. I don't believe that. I don't believe no man can't find no job. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. Let me put it another way. I don't believe that. I know you might not find the job you want, but you can find a job if you want to work. So I came here. I told you this before I was here, and on a Monday, my sister-in-law carried me to look for a job. My brother-in-law wouldn't, and he was right. I found 3 jobs. One of the jobs, they didn't have nobody in there that looked like me. And the person said, don't go in there. They don't have black folks. I said, well, that's why I can go in, because I'm not black. I'm an American citizen. And they owe me something because I spend my money here. They hired me and said, when can you start? Went down the street, 3 or 4 blocks, got another job. When can you start? Went into this racial place on K Street, and they said, they needed employees. They hired me. Went home, 3 jobs. Now I had to make a decision. Went home, and the late George Allen called me and said, you don't have to take those jobs. I'll hire you. Come and work for me, and you can work as many hours as you want to. And that was down my attic because my family wasn't here, and I wanted to keep busy. You're different from me. Being young and handsome. I wanted to keep busy. So I went to work for him for a job I'd never been engaged with. I worked the first night I worked. It was 10 and a half hours. What are you saying? I'm saying to you, I had got my business straight in Chicago with God. So when I came here, I had to just rely on him. Amen. Had to rely on him. Reason I keep telling you to go back, they paid me. When my boss came, wife, I had 4 checks, never been cashed. And my vacation in the bank check. I guess the Spirit wanted me to tell you this for a reason. So I didn't, and had no bills. No bills. Had almost $3,000 worth of tips. Go back. Friend, I'm in a strange land. Passed the test and the state wouldn't hire me because I wasn't a resident of California. They didn't have to. God made it better because the state wasn't paying what I was making. I understand Abraham. He didn't back down, but he was nice to Lot. When people are not nice to you, church, listen to me careful. Go out of your way to be nice to them. Because the Holy Spirit is watching you. Unless you don't have it. The last go back. I mean, the struggles you had back there. And now all you do is sit at home and wait for your check. Go back. See where God brought you from. Go back. See, when you was in Arkansas picking cotton and it was hot, and now you're in air conditioning, don't even have to go outside. Go back! Okay, we're not going to have time to finish this second half. Look careful. Friends, verse number 7 says, and there was a strife between the herdsmen of Abraham's cattle and herdsmen and Lot's cattle. Bickering again. Notice, my friends, if you would, the start of this problem, the beginning. Early in the chapter, we see how Abram had been blessed by God. Amen. And was very rich in livestock and silver and gold. That's verse number 2. Apparently, those blessings had been extended, my friend, to Lot, as well as, for verse number 5 said, Lot also, who went with Abraham, had flocks, herds, and tents. Why wasn't he happy with what he had? Are you listening? Why wasn't he happy? Listen, all of these flocks, herds, and tents were nice, but things were getting a little crowded in the family caravan. Amen. When you get grown, too many grown people can't live in the same house. And the saints in AV said,
amen.
Amen. Verse number 6 says, the land was not able to support them that they might dwell together, for their possessions were too great that they could not dwell together. Too much stuff. Now it isn't surprising to us that an abundance of material things was the star of this dispute that arose among Abram and Lot's people. Why is it that family folks don't want you to have all you can get? I'll tell you why. They haven't been truly converted. Let me give you about being converted. It's not a conversation. It's not a word. Conversion means that you have been changed from the inside out. But brother preacher, I think I've been converted. That won't get it. I go to church every Sunday and I pay my tithe. That won't get it. I sing in the choir and I'm the soul lowest. Yeah, you're the lowest, all right. That won't get it. I preach in the pulpit every Sunday, and I bring the word of God. That won't get it. It has to be from the inside. And once the Holy Ghost touch you from the inside, you'll pull off the outside. You know he is the one that is leading and guiding you. And so why don't you look at what he's done for you? If you're not saved today, I urge you, accept Christ as your personal Savior. Not somebody else's Savior, your Savior. Amen. The last 2 years, I have been offered more jobs than I even want to think about. I can't help them for offering it to me, but I'm converted, saved. Holy Spirit lives in me. I can't cuss at home and act holy on Sunday. What is the Holy Spirit doing for you? What is it? He's not doing nothing for you. You need to check it out. Check it out. But Pastor, I just don't feel well. Quit yielding to your feelings and talk to the healer, who's the spirit of the living God. Then you'll get some help. Amen. Now there is a young people, if they know it, if they don't, then we'll all just do it together. There's a song, it says something like, not what you lack. It says, every praise. It's to our who. Now, when you hear folks criticize being singing praises, you move quickly. Because they are attacking God. You can't serve a God without giving him some praise. Every praise is to our God. Every word of what? Is where? One accord means one accord. Amen. You need to tell somebody today before you leave, I'm sorry what I've done to you or against you. Or you need to tell them, I'm sorry that I don't speak to you because I'm messing myself up. I got to clear it up. Because when you don't speak to people and they're your brothers and sisters, you are violating the Holy Spirit's power. Them people are stronger than the Holy Spirit. No way. No way. No way. And as we enter into Black History Week, listen carefully, friend. I've been called out of my name a lot. Didn't say nothing because I didn't hear nothing. Stop responding to stuff you don't hear. Think about it. I want you to think about it. Am I really saved? Have I really committed my life to Christ? Do I walk with him outside of this church? Does he live in me when I go home? When he speaks to me, help me to hear him. And you watch what he'll do for you. How many of you all know without a shadow of a doubt you owe God something? Then if you know you owe it to him, then you want to get to know him. Let us stand. Mr. Lambert, the young people don't know, we call somebody else. Do they know the song? Okay, y'all come and give it to us. I like their braveness. Every praise is where? I don't want us to miss that. Every word of it.